Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations, you're now members of the 114th Congress.
America's criminal justice system is, in my opinion, in need of reform, not because current policies have failed, but in many ways because those policies have succeeded. Let me explain what I mean. This is an important point for reformers to recognize. Prevailing law enforcement strategies have helped make communities safer all around the country. And yet the current system, for all its merits, nonetheless leaves too many Americans behind. Some of them are reformed offenders who are left behind languishing in prison. Some of them may be innocent men, women, and children on the outside of the prison walls, trapped in fraying communities with too little security and far too few fathers, uncles, and other brothers. A generation of tougher on crime policies has created new challenges that it's up to our generation now to meet. Now to meet, hopefully, with the benefit of those fathers, those sons, those older brothers, those younger brothers, all of whom are desperately needed in their own communities. We have the challenge of over-criminalization, of over-incarceration, and over-sentencing. We have a mountain of empirical evidence demonstrating the social and economic value of stable, intact families and the costs of the breakdown of those same families. We have prison policies that make rehabilitation the exception rather than the norm. And we have regulations that make it unnecessarily difficult for even reformed offenders to build a new life and to earn an honest living once they have been released from prison.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And tonight we take a trip to the nation's capital, and we shine the light on Senator Mike Lee. Hang on to your seat, folks. We're coming right back after you from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lamont Banks, along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Jeanette Williams. And, folks, we've been taking a trip. If you wonder if we have frequent traveler miles, you can take it to the bank, because we have been coming from our nation's capital, highlighting members of Congress here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And tonight is no exception, as we take a few moments tonight to shine the light on a senator from Utah, a man that, Lisa, that we've had an opportunity to talk to, share a little bit of green jello on Capitol Hill with a little whipped cream. And I'll tell you what, it was well worth the trip for that. And we're getting ready to take a trip, folks. It's going to be another humdinger here as we look at this young man who is doing things, Lisa, and very personal with us. We had an opportunity to talk to him. That yeah. interview is coming up right here exclusively on AJC Radio. So hang on in there, folks. And before we get started, let's go to our disclaimer. Lisa?
We want to just remind everyone that we are not attorneys and that A Just Cause does not provide any legal advice. You'll want to contact your own personal legal advisor for your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of A Just Cause or AJC Radio. And as always, we want to thank you for taking a little time out of your evening to tune in and spend some time with us.
And thank you for that, Lisa. Cliff, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great.
And Jeanette, I'll tell you what, we are very, very excited about what's been going on in Washington, D.C. A lot of good things happening as we have had the opportunity Lisa, shine the light on members of Congress. And we believe there's a term in a call center. if you've ever worked there, that we have calls in queue. We have senators and congressmen in queue lined up to come on this program. Folks, this is something you do not want to miss because it brings an understanding and information that I think the American people, Cliff, as we have been doing this for a while, that I don't think they're really aware of the good things maybe that are going on in Washington, D.C. We're seeing a big difference with that. Cliff, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we say here on AJC Radio that first and foremost that the public has to be informed. You got to understand what's going on in Congress. A lot of times, you know, you don't get everything that you need just watching a few minutes of C-SPAN. That's not where it's at. But when you tune in to Spotlight on Capitol Hill, you hear who the congressperson is, what they're about, and how the actions that they're taking actually impact you as an American citizen.
No, absolutely. And Jeanette, you've had an opportunity to take a look at Senator Lee making some differences, making some impacts. What are your thoughts on the senator?
He's doing a great job. I mean, for a senator who's been in for such a short time, he's definitely making some moves and getting some things accomplished. So my hat's off to him.
And that's all well and good. Folks, we are getting to the first steps of fall here across the United States. As I don't know how to pronounce the – we're going to get into some current news, first of all. Hold your horses, folks. Go ahead and grab the American flags. 4th of July is over. You want to pull the flags in the house now because it's Patriotic Thursday here on AJC Radio. And before we get into all of that good stuff, some current news going on. We do have a storm system. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of the hurricane. Begins with a J. Is it Jaquina or something along those lines? I guess that nobody's informed of that at the table.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest hurricane.
There's a hurricane happening. It's approaching the east coast of the United States. I believe, if I saw correctly, one life has been lost in that particular hurricane. Our prayers and thoughts are with the American people on that part of the United States. We wish you the best. Stay in, follow instructions of your local authorities, and keep yourself and your family safe. As that hurricane is supposed to, by understanding, it's supposed to be weakening as it approaches the next couple of days. Cliff, you got any information on that?
It's actually Hurricane Joaquin, and it says, I'm looking at it right now from 10 minutes ago, it says still remains a Category 4 storm.
Wow.
Wow.
But pressure has dropped to 130 mile per hour wind. So,
oh, wow.
You know, our hopes and prayers are with everyone that are in the Bahamas, and as it makes its way toward America, let's all pray that storm dissipates and for the families that have been affected by that.
No, absolutely. And again, our prayers and thoughts are with the families dealing with that, and our prayers will go out to them on that issue. Some other current news going on right now as well. Today in Washington, something reported that the Secret Service, Cliff, comes under scrutiny again, and it goes into conversation that the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz blasted the U.S. Secret Service for revealing private information about him to the press, a move prompted by the Utah Republicans' criticism of the agency. And what's very, very troubling about that is that these are agencies, Cliff, in the government that we are supposed to be able to trust. And if they tend to sit back, and because somebody criticizes with reason and with justification the things that have happened with the Secret Service, they haven't been above reproach, if you will, in regards even to protecting the President of the United States. And because they were criticized for their lack of professionalism, they decide to leak personal information of the congressman. How appalling is that?
Well, what it lets you know is that even though they are not above reproach, they feel like they are above the law. You do not get any arm of a government that feels like it has the right to blatantly leak private information on a congressperson. I mean, if you think about what's going on, you have a congressman who has the right to bring federal employees in under contempt of court, to bring, you know, basically these are the people who can impeach the president. You, as a Secret Service agent, feel like you have the right to leak their personal information. It lets you know that the Secret Service feels like they're above the law, that anything they do is not going to be scrutinized, is not being overseen. And, you know, it's appalling and it's shameful. To the American people, that they are totally out of control.
Well, and this is a branch of the government that is set in position to govern and to keep the America safe on that level, and to protect the privacy of every American citizen across the country. And there, here we go again. And it stands to reason, Lisa and Jeanette, when you hear things like that, how dedicated are these agencies into making it very difficult for other countries, our allies, to look to us as a point of leadership and a model of leadership, when our highest branches of government are doing such things? How do we gain the respect of our allies, Jeanette?
We can't to answer your question. It's just disgusting. And according to the Washington Post, it says that according to the assistant director, he made a statement that some information that he might find embarrassing needs to get out. That is just so rude.
Well, it's unprofessional. It doesn't meet the American standard, if you will, of what we're supposed to do as a nation and as a country. And I guarantee you haven't heard the last of that situation. But I'll tell you what, folks, as we get ready to dive in here in the next 7 minutes or so, dive into the life, the career, since 2010, Lisa, I believe, Senator Lee, you know, we say this all the time, you know, it's kind of, if you're running a race, you come out the gate running. Senator Lee appears to have done that and continues to do that. In trying to bring change to America. This is a very, very passionate and strong individual leader in Congress, very much dedicated to his family, Lisa, to his wife,
yes,
to all the things that mean a great deal of importance to him. A man, from what I gather from meeting with him, Lisa, in Washington, and you tell the folks what you think, a man of high integrity and is concerned about how he is perceived by the American people, and not only the American people, of course, the state of Utah and all of us. He was so gracious with us.
He sure was.
Wasn't he?
Lamont, he was just, I mean, he was probably the most likable person that you want to meet. He's so polite and cordial. You talk to him for a few minutes, and you feel like you've been knowing him for years.
Well, it feels like you're sitting down at the country chicken, country table, if you will, having a little country fried steak and mashed potatoes, and the conversation just starts kind of rolling on with and that's what you feel like. This is just an informal meeting. We're sitting down. We may be watching BYU football, or we may just be sitting down, again, having that country chicken fried steak dinner. Cliff, your thoughts of the senator as we met him down there in Washington?
Well, yeah, he's really down to earth. You know, to have a man who is that down to earth and really laid back, and you know, can make a joke, and we know from the times that we've been up on Capitol Hill how busy Congress
sure
is, and for him to be able to take the time and never make you as a citizen feel like, oh, you're intruding on his privacy. That's what you need in Congress.
Yeah, absolutely,
is that these are the people there to serve you, and you know, us as the American people. But they make you feel like it's not a duty. It's not a burden to them.
It's not an obligation,
exactly,
or a task.
Right. It's just who he is. And then he gives you green jello with whipped
cream. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, when you're sitting in that office and his staff comes out with a couple of containers with some spoons and some whipped cream, Land O'Lakes. I never knew Land O'Lakes made whipped cream. And I'll tell you what, and treated us like we were family. Hey, come on in. And you know, everybody around, I think it was Green Jello Day, Lisa, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was every Wednesday they do in his office. You can come to his office and see him and have green jello with the senator.
Well, look, folks, you can call it unconventional, and maybe it's not the proper color of jello, the red or the raspberry or whatever you like. I don't normally eat different colored jellos. But I'll tell you what, that was a nice little treat that day. And to the Congressman, we thank you for that. But folks in Washington, D.C., if you happen to be available on a Wednesday afternoon and perhaps lunch is wearing off, stop by Senator Lee's office for some good old green jello and some hospitality. It definitely does the heart good. So, folks, I'll tell you what, this is getting ready to get into some serious discussion. Senator Lee is about what we talked about, Cliff, Lisa, Jeanette, Tuesday night, criminal justice reform. You can call it a part two because Senator Lee is adamant about criminal justice reform. He is adamant about working with other members of Congress across the aisle. And we, Lisa, we got that sense from him as well that he doesn't mind reaching across the aisle and working with other congressmen and senators and things along those lines to make things happen. And again, we've said it a dozen times on this program. That is something that is sadly missing, unfortunately. But it seems to me, Lisa, Cliff, Jeanette, that the criminal justice reform is such a hot topic right now. It is something, it is so out of control, it is something that cannot be ignored. Thus, bringing people together, saying, you know what, it is a clear and present danger, if you will, and no disrespect to Harrison Ford for that production, but I'll tell you what, it is a clear and present issue happening in America right now, the need to change the system. And in a few moments, we're going to go into that conversation, let you hear from the senator himself, who graciously gave us time. But until then, folks, get ready to settle in on a fall evening tonight. I don't know what your plans might be, but we give you a cordial invitation to stay with us here on AJC Radio as we go to the nation's capital and emerge on the steps of Capitol Hill. And tonight it is Senator Senator Lee from Utah. Don't go nowhere. We're coming right back with Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question?
Did you know that there are over 2.4 million people
behind bars
in the United States?
I'll ask you one more question. Were you aware that is the highest number of people behind bars in the entire world? The United States makes up only 5% of the world's population. But we have over 25% of the world's prison population. America prides itself on being the most advanced and progressive nation on earth. However, sadly, we are also the world's most archaic. I'm going to give you a personal invitation to get involved with the fight against mass incarceration. Take a few moments to call 1-855-529-4252. That is a just cause, and we fight for justice. Again, call a just cause today. Don't delay. Call 1-855-529-4252. It is time, and I say it's time, that we take America's incarceration seriously. Won't you join us?
Call today.
History is important because it shows where you're coming from and where you're going. Type 2 diabetes is something that runs in my family, which means I'm at risk. In fact, one in three American adults are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And knowing this, if I do nothing, that family history becomes my family's future, and my family is too important to me for that. Take the risk factor assessment today at AskReno.com.
I can solve a difficult problem for a Fortune 500 company. I can run a successful business. I can manage your own business. I can motivate your mind. I can put my military experience to work for your company. I can teach your children. I can be your bottom line.
I can help you achieve.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
But I can't skill to work for your organization.
If I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and abilities.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
You can remember that it works. It's what people can do that matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And tonight we take a journey, as we have every Thursday since June, and we highlight the congressmen and senators that you folks elected across America. And I'll tell you what, we have found some things out, and I'll guarantee you there are no things that are negative that we are focusing on here on AJC Radio, as we shine the light to lift up and to honor our elected officials who are working tirelessly, if that came out correct, to make a difference across America. And I'll tell you what, as the fall season settles in, elections a year away, I'll tell you what, folks are concerned about the state of this nation and the state of our elected officials that are out there to make a difference, to help govern the nation. And I'll tell you right now, things are happening. Right now, regardless of where you may be tonight, I'll give you a couple of the latest weather forecasts as we get started. New York City, 60 degrees, rain showers are falling. And Cliff, help me with the name of the hurricane.
Joaquin.
Joaquin has a J in it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's Joaquin. 60 degrees, folks, be safe out there tonight, no matter what you're doing. If you're going grocery shopping, picking up some treats for the kiddies, be careful and get back home and stay out of the elements if you can. In L.A., it's 80 degrees and sunny. And Colorado Springs, 67 degrees and mostly cloudy skies as we again emerge on this season of fall. And tonight, as we emerge there, we emerge on our nation's steps of the Capitol, and we shine the light on Senator Mike Lee. And Lisa, as we were talking during the break, one of his major passions here in the United States Congress that he is really pushing is criminal justice reform. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's something that is very near and dear to him from the talks that I've had with him and also with his staff. And he works really hard at trying to reform the system. He realizes that our system has got some bad things going on in it. It's pretty much broken to pieces and needs to be fixed. And he's really focused on getting that fixed. He really has a passion for that. He's really driving to try to get that fixed.
He really is. And again, one of many things that he is doing. Senator Mike Lee was elected in 2010 as Utah's 16th.
He was 2011 a month.
Well, I guess he started in 2011, but he was actually elected.
Right, in November of
2010.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for that correction, Lisa. As Utah's 16th senator, Mike Lee has spent his career defending the basic liberties of Americans. And Utah is a tireless advocate for our founding constitutional principles. And doing my research, Lisa, Cliff, Jeanette on that, very much a passionate advocate for the Constitution of the United States. We say all the time on this program, it seems like many of the elected officials, or some of them, have left the Constitution behind. Cliff, as we talk about that and the importance of the Constitution, I believe that the Constitution, without question, if followed, you would have the issues that we have in criminal justice system right now.
Absolutely. I mean, when everybody makes a statement that, oh, America has the best justice system in the world, it is because it's supposed to be based off the Constitution that everybody has the same right, no matter who you are, what rank, what color,
sure,
what creed, whatever. If the Constitution is followed, then yes, we would have the very best system. But again, the system is implemented by people who are flawed and sometimes have their own, they have their own agenda. So they go outside the Constitution, they find some type of loophole or law, and they use it to their advantage to, you know, and there's no other word to use except to corrupt the system. And that is why we have so many issues with the criminal justice system. If we had more people that would go back to the Constitution, as Senator Mike Lee, and base all of their decisions based off the founding fathers' ideals, then America would have the best
system. Well, I think that's a point that's well taken, Cliff, that the Constitution of the United States makes it a fair playing field for everybody. And I think if the Constitution is followed, we made this clear on the show on Tuesday night, it is the system itself, what our founding fathers' intentions were all honorable, and they work completely if followed. The problem is, it's not black and white in America, because you have people and human beings who are motivated by self agendas. Therefore, the Constitution is not placed in the proper place that it should be. And that's a good point. It says here also that Senator Lee's father, Rex Lee, who served as the Solicitor General under President Ronald Reagan, would often discuss varied aspects of judicial and constitutional doctrine around the kitchen table. We talked about the biscuits and gravy and the eggs. And Lisa, he comes from a pedigree of that. Tell us a little bit more about that, Lisa, as far as his history. And I guess I think we talked, Lisa, and folks, hang on in there, because we're getting ready to bring the exclusive interview that Senator Lee gave AJC Radio. But we're giving a little pre-show, if you will. If you watch a little football, it's called pre-game talk. That's what this kind of falls under. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, Senator Lee has, I mean, he's got politics in his blood. He's got two cousins, Mark Udall and Tom Udall, are both two of his cousins. He's got his brother, Thomas Lee, who is a justice on the on the Utah Supreme Court. It's something, and I know in our conversation with him, he mentioned how his father, they always talked politics and talked about our system and things that needed to be done. They talked about it around the dinner table. He said it wasn't until way later that he realized that everybody didn't do that. But that was something that they did on a regular basis. They talked about the things that needed to be changed in the country.
Well, I'll tell you what, and you may find this a little amusing. I remember if you grew up with Happy Days, Leave It to Beaver, some of those shows, folks were sitting down around the table having discussions about how the day. That's when America was at a different place, Lisa, wasn't it?
Yes, America was
at a different place. You sat down and broke bread, and somebody may have been reaching for the last biscuit on the table, but at the end of the day, there was peace in the home and conversation was going on. Folks, we don't want to delay this any further. Right now, the exclusive interview with Senator Mike Lee, and I'll tell you what, hang on to your seats. This is a champion for justice. Let's see what he had to say. How you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing really, really well. This is Lamont Banks, AJC Radio, along with my colleague Lisa Stewart. And we appreciate you taking a few moments to talk to us today, and hope things are well. I'm sure very busy in Washington right now.
Yeah, it's going well. It's good to be with you.
I appreciate it, Senator Lee. And as we go into, we had talked before that the purpose of Spotlight on Capitol Hill, is about shining the light on our congressmen and our senators and our elected officials across the country. And I'll tell you, we had a pleasure meeting with you there in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and your passion, we really appreciate it, and we count it an honor to have you on our program. As we go into this, Senator Lee, as we look at some things going on in Congress right now, a big thing happening is criminal justice reform. People are talking about it all on Capitol Hill. Had an opportunity to research you and your passion for this issue. Can you tell our listeners what is driving you to take a stand and a push for something that seems to be so very important to the American people right now?
Well, we've seen over the last 35 years some disturbing trends. We have a federal prison population that has increased nearly tenfold since 1980. Now, I think this reflects not a tenfold increase in the crime rate, as we know that the opposite is true. The crime rate's gone down. It instead reflects a few trends, one of them being the over-criminalization of the law generally, another involving the over-federalization of criminal law. But it has also stemmed in part from an excessive reliance by Congress on minimum mandatory penalties. This is where Congress will step in and pass a law saying if you commit crime X, then you will serve no less than 5 years in prison or 10 years or 20 years. as the case may be. Now, there are instances in which some of these might make sense, but you've got to be very careful with them, or else you'll cause problems for the criminal justice system. And ultimately, you run the risk of making the criminal justice system less effective if you rely on them too much, and if you set the minimum mandatory penalties too high. That's why I've joined up with some of my Democratic colleagues, led by Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois, to introduce the Smarter Sentencing Act, which would reform our minimum mandatory sentencing system.
Oh, yeah, and Senator, definitely agree with you on that. And a lot of people are a little bit, I think they're not informed that Congress is really working hard to bring about these changes in America. We have the Michael Brown situation, and we have the Eric Garner situation. We have lack of police accountability. All of these things, I think, contribute to the, of course, the prison issues, because there's just like a rogue attitude out there across the country. And I say that very carefully, because I understand all police officers and judicial folks are not necessarily doing the wrong thing. But there's so much a shining light right now on the negative based upon this over the last several months. The things that have happened, the lack of belief in the police system, in communities, and then with President Obama taking a step, and I'll ask you about that. President Obama takes a step, goes to first sitting president to ever go to a prison, and saw some things, and is saying some things that are very moving. That he made a statement that these are some people that just made some mistakes. Some of them are there, and they are there probably, like you say, longer than what they should be. As you see the commander-in-chief take such a position, what message does that send to America, in your opinion?
Well, it certainly sends the message that it's important to him and that it's worth his time. If it's worth the time of the President of the United States, that may cause a number of other people to say this is something that ought to be looked into, especially given that this isn't an issue that will always necessarily grab you an immediate headline. There are some people who are interested in it, others who aren't, but by shining a light on this particular area, we increase the likelihood of getting some success, particularly given the bipartisan coalition that's come behind this effort.
And Senator Lee, as you talk about that, the bipartisan effort going on in Washington, at least on this issue, do you see a trend changing in Congress right now that gives Americans hope that Congress will be able to get some things done as they collectively are able to come together on important issues? It seems like that's happening more and more. We had the opportunity to talk to Congressman Sensenbrenner last week, and he very excited about working with Congressman Scott. And some things is the mood changing in Washington right now, as far as a different trend happening with legislators beginning to start to work together?
Yeah, so there are a number of issues where Republicans and Democrats disagree, and in some cases almost irreconcilably. But there are other areas where there is room for compromise and agreement. Increasingly, this issue is becoming one of those areas. In other words, with criminal justice reform, this is no longer something as to which Republicans and Democrats are irreconcilably deadlocked. There is acknowledgement on both sides of the aisle that our criminal justice system needs to be reformed. And it's no longer the case that members of Congress are categorically saying, you know, let's increase penalties and never look at reducing minimum mandatory penalties. People are seeing that it causes a lot of problems when we throw people in prison for a period of time that's excessive in relation to the nature of the crime they committed. In addition to the economic costs to the government of incarcerating people for a long time, there are tremendous human costs associated with putting away people who are husbands and fathers, sons and uncles and nephews, sometimes for decades at a time, sometimes for a number of years that isn't justified by the severity of the offense they committed.
No, absolutely. And I see here, Senator Lee, that's just one of many things I think that seems to be very important to you. We see here that you seem to be very much to preserve, you fight really to preserve the founding document in the United States Senate, advocating efforts to support constitutionality, limited government, fiscal responsibility, individual liberty, and economic prosperity. So the
criminal justice reform is one of many things, it appears here, that you are involved in. And really these issues that we talk about seem to form America, not only today, but also to our children and our children's children. I presume that family is very important to you from what I've researched on you. How important is that Congressmen, the Congresswomen individually, take their responsibility seriously? And you have to consider the future of America as you do that. Is that one of those things that I presume motivates you to do what you do?
Yes, without question. I mean, you look at society and all the problems that we face, many of them can be traced to a breakdown of the family. And just the same, strengthening the family holds the key to unlocking a lot of these problems, to unraveling a lot of them. When we do things that strengthen the family and allow families to do what they're there to do, to allow families to function without excessive interference from the government, we open up a lot of possibilities.
Oh, absolutely.
Senator, this is Lisa Stewart.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I'm looking at a little bit of your history, and I'm you're very young to be in the position that you're in. You're the same age as my husband, actually. And I noticed that you have three kids. You have two boys and a girl. You were an Eagle Scout. You've been involved in those kind of things. You the politics seems to run in your blood because you're related to Mark Udall and Tom Udall. You've got a lot of that ran in your family and people that were involved in that sort of thing. Would you mind telling us a little bit about why you felt that it was important to take this path and what kind of impact you felt that you could have with not only people across the nation, but with your own family and your own children?
Sure. You know, my interest in government and politics can be traced back to my childhood. We discussed the Constitution a lot in our family. We would routinely talk about constitutional issues over the dinner table. And I think I was 30 before I realized not every family does that, but it was routine in our house. And a few years ago, I decided to run for the United States Senate after I started becoming concerned with the way that the federal government's being operated, that the federal government has become too big and too expensive. It's become too intrusive. It started to take the position that it can be all things to all people. And it's harming a lot of people in the process. It's undermining families. It's undermining individual liberty. And so that's what motivates me. That's what carries me forward. It's part and parcel of what I view as the American dream, that this is the kind of place where someone can be born into poverty and have the reasonable hope and expectation that if they work hard and play by the rules, one day they'll be able to retire comfortably, or in some cases even wealthy. And that all works. That whole American dream works precisely to the extent that we follow the Constitution. When we depart from it, we put ourselves at significant risk for losing some of those same blessings.
No, and absolutely. And Congressman, I don't know how much time you got. We'd like to ask you one question that seems to be high on the minds of American people. Is of course the threat of the homeland. We have ISIS as a moving, strong movement that is, as we talked last week, a few weeks ago, as we remembered 9/11, the tragedy that took place there. We reflected on that, and we now face another threat to this country, and people are talking about it. ISIS seems to be the poster child, if you will, of extreme horror that is in the hearts of the American people as we see brutal killings of Americans and other people, countries of our allies, rather, people of those communities. What are your thoughts on the ISIS situation, and how important is it that we ensure another 9/11 does not happen again, and we take whatever steps necessary to do that?
Okay, so first of all, ISIS is a truly evil organization. This is an enterprise that hates America, hates everything Americans stand for, hates the very cause of freedom, hates the idea that individuals could be free to live their lives as they see fit. And this is an organization that would love nothing more than to oversee the downfall of the United States and any other government, any other country on the planet that doesn't buy into the totalitarian mindset that they have. And so I think we have to view ISIS as presenting a potentially existential threat to the United States, not in the sense that they currently have enough military power to overtake us, but in the sense that unless they are stopped, they're going to cause a lot of harm, a lot of misery to American interests, to Americans around the world, and potentially to our homeland. And so we've got to stop them. We do need a strategy to do that. I have not, as of yet, been satisfied with President Obama's strategy. It's a strategy that's still evolving. But honestly, I can say that I pray for the president on this. Pray that the president will know the right thing to do. He's in a unique position to be able to develop a strategy for combating this evil that we face.
No, absolutely. And Senator Lee, there was a situation where, at least our understanding was, is that the lack of sharing information among law enforcement agencies, not only across the country, but there in Washington, D.C., with the CIA, the FBI, these are issues that my thoughts are that have to be addressed because it comes to a point that enough body bags have been filled. Just with 9/11, just with what's happened with ISIS thus far, I agree with you on that. How important is data sharing and really these agencies, you know, and excuse the expression, getting off the ego problems of who gets credit for this or that or who's doing this and that, and we share that information as a collective body of the United States to keep America safe. How important is it for that, at least, to start the process of ensuring this doesn't happen again?
Well, yeah, many have made that argument that data sharing is absolutely important and have made the argument that we need legislation that would facilitate that data sharing. There is another side to it, and this is a tricky question. There is no easy solution to this. The concern, which is a legitimate one that's been raised on the other side of this, is that to the extent we allow data sharing, and to the extent that there ends up being some type of clearinghouse within the federal government for that data sharing, you run the risk of creating a database that could be hacked, and if it could be hacked, it could actually create more cybersecurity problems than it solves. That really is of concern to me. You look at what happened a few months ago when the database maintained by the Office of Personnel Management was hacked, and you had many millions of security clearances, security clearance background check reports that were in a large database were hacked. If that could be hacked, it gives rise to the question of why couldn't the type of database we're talking about here also be hacked? And so we've got to figure out how issues like those are going to be handled if we're going to pass a bill facilitating this kind of data sharing.
Oh, and I definitely understand that. And one last question, Congressman, we're not going to hold you too long. I'm sure you have a lot of things on your plate today. In reference to that, there is a software system out there called Silk that was developed by IRP Solutions. And my understanding is it's kind of hack-free. I don't know if that happens in this technology, in this world, but it is basically the software is customized to the Department of Justice, to Homeland Security. It would be customized strictly with their existing system, and just kind of, it's kind of weird, but it customizes to perform under the current system that these agencies may have. This is something that was developed and had not been seen. And I'm going to, with your permission, Senator Lee, is forward that information to you because it's something you may want to look at in regards as we seek solutions out. I always say all the time, in America, we're all family. And if there's something out there that can help America, then I believe that the key decision makers, as Congressman Rangel said on this program a few weeks ago, the tough questions have to be asked and the answers and solutions have to be presented to the people that make those decisions. And that's definitely what I think America needs to do, and business people and everybody else that collectively can come together and come up with something that does make a difference. So I do agree with you on that. In closing, you were recently in Congress, not a long, long stay there thus far. What are your aspirations going forward? Are we going to see a presidential Candidate Lee down the road? Do you see that for yourself, or what options do you see that you're look at least open to doing?
Well, I can tell you this. I will be on the ballot in 2016, but that will be in one state and one state only. That's in my home state of Utah, where I'll be up for re-election. So I'm in the job that that I ran for in 2010. I'm in the job that I want, and but I do look forward to seeing what happens in the next presidential election cycle.
Good deal. And Senator Lee, we thank you and thank you for taking some time with us today. It means a whole lot to us, and I want to say I salute you and thank you for your service to America and to your state, the state of Utah, and what you're doing there on Capitol Hill is awesome. And we appreciate you so very much for taking the time with us. We will also be following you and your career and what you're doing. You had a great impact on us when we were there in Washington a few weeks ago. And again, thank you for your service, and we appreciate you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a part of Spotlight on Capitol Hill.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed our visit.
Okay, thank you.
Senator?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also want to tell you, we love the green jello. It was great.
That was very good.
Oh, good. You come back for green jello anytime.
That's worth making another trip all the way from Colorado, man. That jello, and they put a little whipped cream, was it, Lisa?
Yes, it was.
On there. Hey, that's a good thing. That was some good stuff. Thank you so very much.
Hey, thank you. You take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, and there you have it. Lisa, Senator Lee, making a huge difference, gave us quite a bit of time this morning in spite of his schedule. And sounds like to me he's open to what's out there to keep America safe. And he made that statement that we need to ensure or look into the software that we want to use, that it's not hackable. It sounds like to me there's some people there on Capitol Hill that's open to what the RP6 have created.
Absolutely.
That's something that that we'll definitely get into, and we're going to forward that information to the senator and continue pressing. Ladies and gentlemen, Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And again, Senator Mike Lee, I guess elected in 2010 as Utah's 16th senator. Senator Lee has spent his career defending the basic liberties of Americans and Utah. Lee graduated from Brigham Young University with a Bachelor of Science in Political Science and served as BYU student body president in his senior year. He also graduated from BYU's law school in 1997, went on to serve as law clerk to Judge D. Benson of the U.S. District Court for the District of Utah, and then with future Supreme Court Justice Judge Samuel A. Alito, Jr. on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill as we shine the light on a champion and making some big differences in Washington. Senator Mike Lee, this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. We'll be right back.
Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who's innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering A Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call A Just Cause at 855-529-4252 or visit a-justcause.com and click the donate button. A Just Cause is a 501c3. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall.
Odds of becoming an astronaut, 1 in 13,200,000. Odds of being struck by lightning, 1 in 576,000. Odds of dating a supermodel, 1 in 88,000. Odds of bowling a perfect game, 1 in 11,500. Odds of being trapped in an elevator, 1 in 24,528. Odds of catching a ball at a major league game, 1 in 563. Odds of an injury from shaving, 1 in 6,585. Odds of tripping while texting, 1 in 10. Odds of getting cancer in your lifetime, 1 in 2 men. one in three women.
It's up to us
to change the odds for our generation,
for the ones we love,
for our future.
If you don't like the odds, stand up. Stand up to cancer.
Your friend from drinking and driving. You're as good as dead. Drinking and driving can kill a friendship.
Congress
shall make no law
respecting an establishment
of religion
or prohibiting the free exercise
thereof
or abridging the freedom of speech
or of the press
or the right
of the people peaceably
to assemble
and to petition
the government
for a redress of grievances.
But the legislators who vote on criminal statutes are, or at least appear to be, uninterested in normative arguments. To make an obvious example, for the past generation, virtually everyone who has written about federal criminal law has bemoaned its expansion. But the expansion has continued apace under very different sorts of Congresses and presidents. Normative argument does not seem to have mattered. One can put the point more generally. American criminal law's historical development has borne no relation to any plausible normative theory unless Moore counts as a normative theory. Close quote. I'm here today because I do care about the normative arguments that can be made in this area. I care about the normative arguments regarding the ever-expanding criminal state. I believe federal over-criminalization, in particular, is detrimental in terms of financial, social, and human costs that it imposes on our country. And I'm far from alone in this regard. In fact, I believe that we're seeing increasing bipartisan sensitivity to over-criminalization issues and an increasing openness on the part of members of Congress to reevaluate federal criminal laws and regulations towards making some common sense incremental changes. In conversations with colleagues, more often than not, I hear agreement that federal over-criminalization is a very serious issue. The Smarter Sentencing Act, which I introduced with Senator Dick Durbin, to address issues regarding federal over-criminalization related to sentencing for drug violations, already has 23 co-sponsors, including 6 Republicans in the Senate. And the House Judiciary Committee recently reauthorized its bipartisan over-criminalization task force, chaired by Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, which has done and I'm sure will continue to do exceptional work on this topic. I'm optimistic that as conferences like this one shed light on the severity of federal over-criminalization and the potential harms caused by the breadth and scope of federal laws and regulations, the momentum for reform in this area will continue to grow.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lamont Banks along with Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart, and Jeanette Williams, as tonight we have taken a journey, and it didn't cost us a plane ticket, as we have emerged upon the steps of our nation's capital, shining the spotlight on Senator Mike Lee. And Cliff, as we sit there, and Lisa and Jeanette, I mean, conversation starts almost immediately as we go over the interview. Senator Lee sharing his thoughts seems to be very concerned about the criminal justice system. And again, there's many things we're going to get into tonight in regards to the senator, but this seems to be on the top of his agenda, Cliff, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, you look at his common sense approach that he's looking at, hey, this is not what our forefathers envisioned when they came up with a criminal justice system. There comes a point when a person commits a crime that, yeah, some people, if they are habitual criminals, need to be locked up for extended periods of time. But the system is supposed to be at, you know, basically helping a person to reform them to find their place back in society. In America, the criminal, our criminal justice system is not pointed at reform. It is not pointed at
rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation yeah. of the individuals. It's pointed at locking you up. And the senators, a lot of senators on Capitol Hill, including Senator Lee, have come to that conclusion and understanding that the criminal justice system needs to be reformed to come back to basically saying, what do we do to help the people who are committing crimes, to try to get them to understand you don't commit crimes, you know, for whatever reason. This is how you go about living your life. The system is to basically rehabilitate you, not to lock you down and take away your life forever. And it needs to be changed, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one thing is very, very clear and very, very important that needs to happen. Jeanette, you had a comment?
Yeah, like Cliff was saying, you know, the passion that he has for this, the actual criminal justice reform, it's affecting everybody. So I like that both sides are coming together. Like he said, both sides of the aisles, the Democratic, the Republicans, they're coming together on this issue because the minimum mandatory sentences, things like that, that are, and the Smarter Sentencing Act, he's talking about how the minimums are set too high. The sentence does not justify the crime. You
Absolutely.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I really, really like that when he said, when we depart from the Constitution, we miss out. We lose out on what its purpose was, on what its place is to do and to be for us as Americans.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of America, make no mistake about it. At the end of the day, Senator Lee is talking, Cliff and Jeanette, we said, Lisa, we said before, you have to be about it. You can't just talk about it. Senator Lee not only starts with the issue with the Smarter Sentencing Act of 2015, and that particular bill that he is pushing, it says it amends the federal criminal code to direct the court to impose a sentence for specified controlled substances, offenses, without regard to any statutory minimum sentence, if the court finds that the criminal history category for the defendant is not higher than Category 2. Currently, the court may disregard the statutory minimum if the defendant does not have more than one criminal history point. It goes on further to say that it authorizes a court that imposed a sentence for crack, cocaine, possession, or trafficking offense committed before August 3rd of 2010 on motion of the defendant, the Bureau of Prisons, the attorney for the government, or the court to impose a reduced sentence, as if provisions of the Fair Sentencing Act of 2010 were in effect at the time such an offense was committed, provided such sentence was not previously imposed or reduced under such act or such motion wasn't previously denied. Cliff, this goes to the heart of saying we have a problem. And he made the point, President Obama, on the show when we was doing on criminal justice reform, made a very, very clear point to the American people. He said these are human beings. He said at the end of the day, these are Americans.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we don't leave our own in harm's way.
That's right. I mean, our armed forces, every branch says you never leave a man behind. Wounded, harmed, you know, in trouble, you do not leave a man behind. And that comes from basically, like you say, America is a family. You don't leave your brother out there to say, okay, well, I'm just throwing you away. And we have to take that same process, that same insight, and say we need to apply that to the criminal justice system, to say we don't just take people, Americans, human beings, and throw them in a cage and say, you know what, we're just leaving you in there forever for one mistake that you made. I mean, some of these sentencing guidelines that happened in the 80s, I mean, you give a person 20, 40, 100, 430 years Nacho was saying on Tuesday night, that you, it's not about just throwing a person in a cage for the rest of their life for one mistake that they made. And in the Sentencing Reform Act, you know, basically it sets provisions that say that not only are we going to reform how these minimum guidelines are being set in place and that they need to be stripped apart, but it also requires the Attorney General to report on how the reduced funds on federal corrections, you know, Bureau of Prisons, how those funds are being used, how the cost savings resulting from this act will be used to help reduce overcrowding in the prisons, to increase investments in law enforcement and crime prevention and reduce recidivism to keep people from going back. So what programs are being put in place? How is the money being spent, not just to say less time for the crime, but how is it helping to rehabilitate?
Well, I think Senator Lee is the again, his passion and his movement. This goes into the heart, ladies and gentlemen, of America, of what our senators are doing. Senator Lee is a prime example of digging down and getting to the core, to the source of the problem and saying this is what we have to do. He doesn't stop there. Senator Lee is on the Inspector General Access Act of 2015. He's trying to get that passed into law. It amends the Inspector General Act of 1978 to eliminate a provision of such act that requires referral of allegations of misconduct involving the Department of Justice, attorneys, investigators, law enforcement personnel to the Department of Justice, Office of Professional Responsibility, thus allowing the Department of Justice Inspector General to investigate those allegations.
Exactly.
That Senator Lee, what he is saying in a nutshell, no one is above the law. We've said that on this program. Senators speaking out, congressmen speaking out, saying, look, I believe in the Constitution of the United States. This is what Senator Lee has said. He says if we depart from the Constitution, we have a major problem on the horizon of America. And I think that point is very, very, very important that we understand. And when you think about that, Cliff Jeanette, Senator Lee taking these steps, a man of true integrity, a man that is saying what matters is not about today only. It is about my children. It is about their children. It is about the future leaders of America. And if we don't hold people accountable, we said on the onset of this show, the corruption, the scandal, another scandal with the Secret Service, the senators crying out for accountability by these administrations, these offices to say, look, you are not above the law that you can leak a elected official's private information because you have a little attitude problem because they said something about your agency. Well, if your agency is doing what you need to do, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
Do your job.
Exactly.
Do your job. And I salute Senator Lee on that. I think that's critically important, Jeanette, as we talk about the senator. Again, he is doing things that are not just about today. It is about the core. It is about the future. It is about the very foundation this country was founded upon, and that foundation is the Constitution of the United States.
And Lamont, that's what gives Americans hope that Congress is doing something to bring about change. Like Senator Lee, he is not afraid of losing ratings. He is not afraid to stand by his convictions. He does not like, and he's made mention about his take on the all or nothing approach in Congress sometimes. It's like even what reform means to him. He was speaking about how the CR or continuing resolution, that's what the CR stands mm-hmm. for. Well, under continuing resolution, representatives and senators are unable to vote for some things and against other things. It's like you have to take the whole package or nothing. He doesn't like that. And he's made mention that he does not like that. So he said it's like comparing like going to the grocery store and needing eggs and milk. And instead of just getting eggs and milk, you have to get motor oil and all this stuff in this package. Well, he has taken a stand to do something about that. He said JFK once said, to govern is to choose. So to govern by CR or continuing resolution is not to choose. Therefore, it's not governing at all.
Oh, absolutely, and I forget the terminology they use on that as far as kicking the can down the road. Is that what they say, Cliff?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's kick the can down the road. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, if you're walking down the street and you kick the can a few feet, you're going to approach that can again.
Yeah.
You delay the inevitable. What I find amazing about Senator Lee is his reasoning to not be a burden to the American people. These actions that he's taking is to say, what can we do to alleviate the burden off of the American people? Whether it's our criminal justice system, he made the point, Cliff, in regards to the money cost to taxpayers, what the burden, getting that burden off their backs. He actually had a statement to talk about his integrity in regards to what motivates our Congress to try to lift that burden. Here's what he had to say.
you've got an elephant and you want to eat that elephant. You can't swallow the elephant all at once. You've got to take it and bite it at a time.
One bite at a time.
We can do that in a way that still shows our bold colors as conservatives, that doesn't require us to put on pastels and blur the difference between conservatives and people who are not conservatives. But we need to do it a step at a time. And these are very digestible pieces of legislation, very digestible reforms that could move forward sometime in the next few years and could gain the support of a majority of the members of both houses of Congress. And so that's why it's important to do this. You know, Abraham Lincoln said that the most important function of government was to clear the paths of laudable pursuit, to lift artificial weights from the shoulders of all, and thus provide for a fair start in the race of life. And that's really what we're trying to do here. Here, many of these artificial weights on the shoulders of Americans are placed on the shoulders of Americans by the federal government. We're looking for ways that we can start removing some of those weights. Might not be able to remove all of them, and maybe not all at once, but if we can remove one or two of them here or there, that's a good start.
Well, there you have it. Cliff, wow. You hear his sincerity. He is saying if it takes one step at a time, and him, who we're talking about, a champion, Senator Lee, Mike Lee from Utah, says if we can take a step, and you know what you find, to the point Jeanette alluded to, kick the can down the road is not going to get it done.
That's right.
He says if we have to go one step at a time, let's alleviate the burden off the backs of the American people. Cliff, when you have someone selfless as that, change has to be around the corner.
That's right. He understands what it takes to make the change. You take one step at a time, you change one issue at a time, and issues, plural, begin to change. It's just like building a wall. You take one brick at a time, one brick by itself, that's not a wall, that's a brick. You barely would stumble over that. But you take a bunch of bricks, you line them up one at a time, and then you have a wall, you continue to build on that wall becomes impervious to invasion. So if you make change one step at a time, the next thing you know, you have a system that actually works. Imagine that. Let's go to the phone lines.
We
got a few people on that want to make a comment. We apologize for your wait, but now we're ready for you. We have Michelle, who wants to make a comment about some of the things she's hearing about Senator Mike Lee. Michelle, are you with us?
Hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I'm very interested to hear more about the two pieces of legislation that you guys have brought up, because I have concerns about the fact that we have a lot of judges and prosecutors with absolute power and absolute immunity. And that's the reason that there, to me, is rampant corruption throughout the judicial system, because they're not held accountable. So I'd like to know more about that second piece of legislation. I think both pieces, if something comes of it, would be phenomenal to change the system. And so you mentioned that they can actually investigate. I'd like to know, is there anything within that legislation that says, hey, and if you do something wrong, we're coming for you. Thank you.
And thank you for your comment. Now, the piece of legislation that Michelle is speaking of is the Inspector General Access Act of 2015. And Michelle, you can go out there and you can check under the related bill, which is H as in Henry, R as in Rio, H.R. 2240. That will give you all the details of that. And basically, this act, like Mont said before, it takes out the provision where someone has to query the inspector general to do an investigation.
Right.
It says the inspector general can go after these members of the DOJ by themselves, attorneys, you know, FBI, everybody who's under DOJ umbrella. They can go after them without having to be queried by someone else. So the inspector general sees something going on, the Office of Professional Responsibility can go after that immediately.
And I'll tell you what, that is a huge act of courage on behalf of Senator
Lee.
Because he's attacking, not attacking, but he is calling for accountability for no matter what branch of government you're in. You're not
That's
above
right.
the law. You are subject to an investigation. You are subject to penalty under the law, and it goes back to what we said about Senator Lee. His admiration and his emphatic implementation of the Constitution of the United States and everything that we do.
That's right, because you look at what we see today, we see things happening with the CIA out of control, Secret Service out of control, that leaking congressmen's personal information. Congressman Lee says, do what you will, do your best, but I'm standing up for justice. I'm ensuring that the Constitution, that everything that the forefathers wanted to for the American people, that it is offered, because the Constitution in itself, as our founding laws, our founding guidelines, that it is upheld, that the American people can believe in it, and that Congress and the judiciary and law enforcement will continue to be bound by that document.
Sure.
That gives everybody the right of any American system, citizen, rather, I'm sorry, no matter who you are. We have on the line another, and thank you again for that comment, Michelle. Appreciate it. And we have another caller on the line. Tonight we have Ethel. She wants to make a comment about something that the senator said. And Ethel, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say that I applaud Senator Lee. His enthusiasm, his tenacity, and his drive is what we need in order to bring about the reform that is needed in the criminal justice system. And he had made reference to this big elephant. If you want to eat the elephant, you have to eat it piece by piece. And what I wanted to just point out to that is, if you have enough people that are taking a bite off of this elephant, you're very soon to get him eaten. And I want to just thank him so much for everything that he's doing, for his initiatives. People need to know that our senators in Congress are doing something to help this country, to not just sit back and say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but people who are actually out there making a difference. And I just want to applaud the senator and thank you for taking my call.
And thank you so much for that, Ethel. And Cliff, when you hear folks calling in, it sounds like something's catching on across America, that people are starting to recognize, wait a minute, I wasn't aware of that.
Exactly.
I didn't know this was going on. And I think we talk about the character of a person and the character of a man or a woman that deals with these issues. And I think the character of Senator Lee is so profoundly sincere.
It really is.
That leaves you somewhat speechless.
Yes,
or tongue-tied, maybe.
Tongue-tied, maybe. But it makes you really appreciate what our legislators, Lisa, are doing up there. And when to the caller's point, you got to pat people on the back.
Right. And you know, the thing that I see with the callers, Mont, that you don't typically see is people are basically reciting what they heard the senator say.
Right.
Typically, you do not get a caller who calls in and say, hey, you know, that piece of legislation that I heard so-and-so talking about. You don't get a caller that calls in and say, hey, I was watching C-SPAN for the last 6 hours, and I heard one of the congressmen, one of the members of Congress say something. But this gives a roadmap. This gives a guideline. This gives access to, like you say, the champions of justice like Senator Lee, that people are calling in and say, hey, I heard what he said. I heard the legislation that he's a part of. I want to get more information on that. And that is what Spotlight on Capitol Hill is about. Is about exposing and bringing a spotlight to what these members of Congress, what they're doing for the American people. And you can see it's catching on. They're calling in saying, I want to get more information about this legislation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of America, again, make no mistake about it. If you wonder if you tuned in to CNN tonight and you've heard something positive, I guarantee you, check your dial or check your internet connection. This is AJC Radio, Spotlight on Capitol Hill, and tonight we applaud a champion in Senator Mike Lee from Utah. And I'll tell you what, we talked earlier about the character, the conviction of a man, a woman, a leader makes a difference to a nation. Senator Lee talked about conviction. Let's hear what he had to say. After this, we'll be right back.
The city of God was submitted for safekeeping to the city of man. So from ancient tribes to modern empires, governments derived their authority from the church and vice versa. uniform obedience to the established religion was enforced by the state, and dissent from official orthodoxy was outlawed. Minority faiths were suppressed, and heresy was punished as a crime. America was different, not by accident or chance or whim, but by design. Because America was founded by men and women, families, and congregations who turned the oppression of the ages inside out. We insisted that religion is simply too important, too essential, too central to human happiness and to social flourishing, to be managed by and subject to the whims of mere politicians. These were the pilgrims, the dissenters, and the conscientious objectors who had the courage to flee religious persecution in the old world, and they also had the conviction to build a community of religious liberty in the new world. They were extraordinary men and women, but they had an extraordinary and even more extraordinary devotion to the belief that it is not only possible but necessary to render the things that are Caesar's unto Caesar, and to render to God the things that are God's.
Today, an innocent person is standing trial for a crime they did not commit. Today, an innocent person is writing for help from a prison cell. 245 people have been exonerated by DNA testing, but researchers believe that at least 40,000 innocent people are still behind bars. For them, the answer is the Innocence Project, an organization that uses DNA technology to free those who've been wrongfully convicted of a crime. For more information about how you can support the Innocence Project, go to mylifetime.com.
Every crime has a victim, and every victim needs help. Being violated by a crime can leave you feeling alone in the world. National Center for Victims of Crime can help. Let us be your resource, your support, your guide to rebuilding your life and restoring hope. Yes, you have the ability to recover. Take the first step. Call 1-800-FYI-CALL or visit us at www.ncvc.org.
These are the voices that prisoners in solitary confinement hear every day. Out of Arizona's total of 2,076 prisoners held in solitary, 30% are taking prescription medication to deal with mental illnesses, and 11% have diagnosed schizophrenia. Experts report that the extreme and prolonged isolation exacerbates pre-existing conditions and appears to even cause mental illness in prisoners who were not previously ill. While prisoners deserve punishment, Arizona can do better. We need to change the solitary confinement rules. Unlike any other states, Arizona prisoners are held in 8x10 cells for at least 23 hours a day, with no windows and virtually no human interaction. Perhaps the best way to fix solitary confinement so it strikes a balance between punishment and humanity is to decrease the size of solitary units. Colorado, Texas, Mississippi, and Illinois have decreased the size of their units, only admitting prisoners who need the rehabilitating experience, and have saved over $6 million without compromising prison safety. A study produced in Colorado reported that after decreasing the number of solitary units, prisoners experienced an improvement in overall mental health of the confined inmate population. How can we do this? We need to reach out to Director of Corrections Charles L. Ryan, asking him to decrease the number of solitary units. Solitary confinement needs to remain a place for punishment and behavior change, but it can also be a place of innovation and rebuilding. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to AJC Radio and Spotlight on Capitol Hill, as tonight we have taken a few moments to shine the light on Senator Mike Lee from Utah. And the clip that you heard previously before the break, Senator Lee is expressing the importance of living by your conviction, but also doing right by your God-given ability, if you will, or reason or purpose to help the nation, Lisa, the country, the government in which you live by as an American citizen, to render, he quotes a biblical scripture, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's. And the fact is, folks, basically saying don't abuse your religious beliefs or your faith to avoid the doing the right thing.
Right.
That speaks volumes to the character of Senator Lee.
Yes, it does.
And now this isn't a Sunday school lesson, but you get into, I guess when they came to try to trick Jesus, they made the statement to him that, well, did he expect him not to do the right thing by the government in which they are a part of, if you will? And that's the answer they gave. Do right by your country. And you do right by your God or your faith or whatever it is that you live by. Lisa, I think that speaks volumes to integrity. Your thoughts?
It absolutely does. I think any man who, whether you're in a position of leadership or not, to be a strong man, you should be led by your convictions and you should be able to stand by your convictions. I've said that before about other people that we've talked about, but I think it's such an important aspect of being a leader in this country that you understand that there's more to life than just one thing. There's more to life than just politics. There's more to life than just my family. Everything comes together. Everything comes together. You have to deal with all the individual pieces, pull them all together, and figure out how to handle them and how to do them right.
No, absolutely. And Jeanette, as it looks like you had a couple of points you wanted to point out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to quote Senator Lee. He said something which speaks to his devotion. It speaks to his heart that he has for the people. He said that Congress should be willing to do what hardworking Americans always do when faced with challenges. They work late nights, early mornings, and even through the weekends. He said we owe it to the people who sent us to Washington to fix our broken government.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
He said we owe it. If you go buy something and put it on your credit card, you owe it back. Now, that's a very shallow comparison or analogy. But Senator Lee is saying we owe the people.
That's right.
Cliff, if I'm not mistaken, what I'm hearing is something that is on a very important document that holds that word. We the people. of the United States. It goes back, Cliff, to his passion for the Constitution. This is what is going to make America come to where they need to come to. And every week we say on this program, we learn something every week. Somebody's passionate about criminal justice. Somebody's passionate about, accountability. Somebody's passion this week, the Constitution of the United States, which is supposed to be the most sacred document that governs a nation.
That's right. And it is to every American who knows how America came to be free. I mean, when you look at the history of America, you look at the fact that it was founded by men basically of low esteem that were sent here or came here and said, you know what, we're going to hack our living out of the wilderness. We're going to do whatever it takes to become a people that are proud to say we have diversity. We treat each other right. All of us have the same rights. There is no, there is no tyranny. There is no one man at the top that is better or can be more than what anyone else is. It's all about equality here in America. And when you look at Senator Lee and the things that he says, see, what here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill is not just about the laws that he wrote. It's not just about a bill that he started. It is about the person, about who he is, what he believes, his moral stance, who he is as a person, not just from his career in Congress, but like he said, sitting around the table as a young boy, watching, listening to his father tell him the Constitution of the United States and the Holy Bible are the two most sacred documents that any American should have in their home, and that they should understand them. And Senator Lee understands that the Constitution was put in place to ensure that we have freedom. And it's encouraging, it's enlightening, and it, you know, just warms your heart to see a person that is fighting for the justice of the American people, someone such as Senator Mike Lee.
Yeah, and Cliff couldn't have said it better. You know, there was a picture, Cliff, do you remember when we were in Washington that showed
George Washington
as he bowed a knee?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was before battle.
Yes, it was before the one of the battles that he went to. I don't remember the caption.
Sure.
But it brings you, I mean, when you look at that, you say, okay, here is a man that understands, and he goes to his God to pray because he needs guidance. And what do I do for the people of America? What do I do? How do I tell them the things that are right? Because he's not just about himself. It's not just about his political position, what he wants to become. But he says, you know what? I'm in this position, and like Senator Lee says, I owe it to the people who voted me in.
Right.
I have a debt to the people. The only way I can repay them back is by standing on the morals that I believe are right, doing the right thing, making the right vote, and bringing into law and saying the right things that ensure that every American citizen has an equal right in the same place, basically, at the dinner table.
Well, it speaks volumes. You know, we wonder why a lot of times in America that the Constitution is referenced so many times.
Yes.
When you see something that we just discussed moments ago, in regards to that picture, that image that is embedded in our minds that we mm-hmm. saw, it speaks to the strength of the Constitution.
Right.
And whether folks believe it or not, the Constitution was founded upon some moral actions, that men, like you said, Cliff, felt a need to pray and ask their creator for direction. I mean, it takes a creator to help you run a country, to do the right thing. And we talk about, Lisa, the values of Senator Lee, his religious background coming from Utah, his passion for his religion, his faith, to believe that without honoring and cherishing that faith, that's a driving force in his life that causes him to say, I'm going to step out and do things that may not be popular, may not be well received, but guess what? My moral conviction. You need quite a bit of that.
Yes, you do.
To be successful.
If you're going to get anything done, you have to have
that. You have to have a compass, if you will,
yeah.
An internal compass. Senator Lee, I mean, I'm blown away tonight again by a senator. This is what America was founded on, as Cliff alluded to earlier.
Yes.
The foundation of, you know what, I can't do this alone. You know, I need my brother across the aisle to help me. I need, whether he's a Republican, independent, whatever, let's come together as a nation and as America and get things done. And Senator Lee, what a prime example, Jeanette, of him doing that, and not only starting it, but continuing in his focus to that fact.
Absolutely. I just agree wholeheartedly with you.
Well, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, you know, this just gets bigger. He's doing a lot of things. Cliff, even further down the road as we review his situation. But before we go there, let's go to the phones.
Yeah, we have, you know, we want to make sure we give everybody a chance to make their comments. So we have Ashley on, who has a comment about Senator Lee and what she's heard about him and the things that he has said tonight on this show. So go ahead, Ashley, you're live.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it was good to see a senator, you know, standing up and speaking out. I think one thing that really stood out to me is he was 30 years old. I think I heard that he was 30 years old whenever he decided that he really wanted to take part, you know, and make a change. So, again, that's something that really stood out to me because, really, you can do it at any age. And another thing that stood out to me was he's truly compassionate about the change, and that's, you know, what it takes for change. So I just thank him for being interviewed on the show, and thanks for all the information.
And you're welcome, and thanks, Ashley, for the phone call. And, you know, if I'm hearing correctly, Cliff, a chord is being struck in the hearts of the people listening to this show tonight. That is,
that's right.
You know what? That's what this is about.
That is.
They call it thought-provoking that makes you
sitting back and, wow, man, what you know, if whatever situations we're in as a country, we're in it together, and it's going to take us together to get out of it. And that's something that we definitely have to, take a look at. And I was looking at another one of Senator Lee's passions here, the Fairness for High-Skilled Immigrants Act of 2013. The summary of that act goes into the Fairness for High-Skilled Immigrants Act of 2013 amends the Immigration and Nationality Act to eliminate the per-country numerical limitation for employment-based immigrants and increase the per-county numerical limitation for family-based immigrants from 7% to 15% of the total number of family-sponsored visas. Cliff, looks like he goes into trying, as we know, the immigration is a huge topic in America, and we're trying to get some things. He's stepping out to show kindness as a humanitarian, that the immigrants in this, the immigrants in this country are of great importance, and we don't throw those folks away.
That's right. I mean, when you look at the immigration, you know, whatever we want to call it, you want to call it an issue, a problem, a legislation, whatever. When you look at it, it still involves people. And
right.
when you look at a person like Senator Lee, he understands that you don't just take a person and say, because you weren't born here, because you're not here legally, that we just throw you back and not care about what's going to happen to you on the other side of the line. You look at, I mean, he's dealing with the fact that a family will be broken up. A person could be put into a dangerous situation. America has always been a sanctuary from those who are running from danger, for those who have been running from trouble. Sure, some of them come over here illegally, and that needs to be addressed, but in my opinion, you don't just take a person and say, you know what, I'm just going to throw you back across the line and whatever happens to you happens. No, that is not the solution.
Well, and I think to that point, Cliff, at least in my research on the immigration situation in this nation right now, it's not as it seems. These folks did just not jump up one morning and say, let's get on a boat and get to America as soon as possible and do this illegally and all that. You have folks that were actually... born in America. Their parents came over here, whatever circumstances that drove them. And a lot of them came over here because they were running, Cliff, as you said, for their lives.
Yeah.
Whether it's Mexico, where the cartel has taken over. In many, many cases, and I think you make a good point, the leaders of America have to be human. And that's critically important, Lisa, what we talked about Senator Lee in his office, the human kindness, the humanitarian spirit, if you will, associated with this man is what America needs.
And you know what, Lamont? It rubs off on the people around him, because everyone in his office, it was the same way.
It was
like you walked into a room with your family in it, and you're sitting there and you're talking, and it was so free and so open. And I know it comes from, it's a result of who you're
right.
there working with.
Without question, and I'll tell you what, that is what makes America what it is today. And, folks, all the precious stones are not lost, and they actually reside in offices on Capitol Hill, and these folks are doing some things. I'm so overwhelmed, Lisa, the impact of Spotlight on Capitol Hill, what we have learned, what we learn every day. It makes you think about them. You turn on CNN now and see the Congress folks on there working hard. You know, you have a different appreciation and a different outlook on those congressmen. It's like you're connected to them.
That's right.
I think that's amazing. And you know what? This is an experience that I think all Americans and our listening audience needs to pay attention to. It's something that's important. And I think it changes the culture. It changes the mindset. It's amazing what positive.
Yes.
Reinforcement does to the heart and the spirit of mankind. Cliff, I mean, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, because we have enough negative. We have enough, someone just like today, someone went on a shooting spree at another school. We have enough of that in the news. We have enough trouble. We have enough Secret Service leaking a congressman's personal information. We have enough of all of the things that makes us cry on a daily basis. But what we don't have is enough information about the people who are trying to make a difference. And a lot of times, Lamont, you know, you say that when we look at the polls, the ratings for Congress's approval rating, it is a misconception because
really
the American
is.
People do not really know what is going on Capitol Hill. They look at it as an overall, like, okay, this is the picture I see. To them, it doesn't look like something's getting done. But when you really get down into it, when you turn a spotlight on a man, a senator, a father, a human being like Senator Lee, when you turn the spotlight on him and you look at him as a person, and you say, well, this person happens to be a senator, and these are the things that he's going after. But who he is as a person is what he does in the United States Senate. And that is what is more important than just his name being written on a bill or his signature saying that, you know, I concur with what this vote is. The person who is being spotlighted, it speaks volumes to why he is in Congress, why he takes the stands that he does, and it all boils down to the moral fiber of who he is and how his father taught him. The document that every American must always keep in mind is the United States Constitution. Let it guide you in your political career. Let it guide you in the decisions that you make and how you look at your fellow man. Because if you do, you will have the same insight that our forefathers did that says, hey, it's we the people for the people and by the people. We are all here for each other, to help each other, and to ensure that the laws that are put into effect continue to go down that path.
And he makes, as we visit, what brought Senator Lee on his journey? What drove him? And we touched on this a little bit earlier, that Senator Lee acquired a deep respect for the Constitution early on in his life. His father, Rex Lee, again, who served as the Solicitor General under President Ronald Reagan, would often discuss varied aspects of judicial and constitutional doctrine around the kitchen table. And from due process to the use of executive power, he attended most of his father's arguments before the United States Supreme Court, giving him a unique hands-on experience and understanding of government up close. Goes further that Senator Lee graduated from Brigham Young University, a Bachelor of Science in Political Science, and served as BYU's student body president in his senior year. He graduated from BYU's law school in 1997, went on to serve as law clerk to Judge D. Benson of the U.S. District Court for the District of Utah, and then with future Supreme Court Justice Judge Samuel A., I believe it's Alito, Jr., on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. Lee spent several years as an attorney with the law firm of Sidley in Austin, specializing in appellate and Supreme Court litigation, and served as assistant U.S. attorney in Salt Lake City, arguing cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit. It goes further. Today, Lee fights to preserve America's profound founding document in the United States Senate. He advocates efforts to support constitutionality and limited government. Lee is a member of the Judiciary Committee, serves as chairman of the Antitrust, Competition Policy, and Consumer Rights Subcommittee, protecting business and competition and personal freedom. He also oversees issues critical to Utah as the chairman of Water and Power Subcommittee of Energy and Natural Resources Committee. He serves on the Armed Services Committee and the Joint Economic Committee as well. You wonder how much can actually be done. And Lee and his wife, Sharon, live in Alpine, Utah with their three children. He is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and served a two-year mission for the church in Texas, Rio Grande Valley. And ladies and gentlemen, as we take a moment to shine the spotlight on Capitol Hill tonight, what an honor, what a privilege to take a look at the man, as Cliff alluded to, the man, the character, and I call him a champion and a hero on Capitol Hill. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. We'll be right back as we close out the spotlight on Senator Mike Lee. What an extraordinary man. Stay with us.
So most people don't understand the importance of exercising and eating right. Most people think it's about getting super buff or eating grass to keep that perfect bod. But to those who believe that, are wrong. Exercising regularly and getting the right balance of nutritious food leads to a common diagnosis known as healthy. Now, healthy may sound mainstream and boring, but it's real.
It improves your immune system, boosts self-confidence, and controls body weight. It gives you energy and improves your overall health. So next time you think that's not bad, think again and be the best you can be.
Here are 50 white guys. Here are 50 black guys. Here's how many white guys can expect to go to prison in their lifetime. The chances amount to 1 out of 17. Now, here's how many black guys can expect the same thing. The chances are 1 out of 3. Why? Lots of reasons. It's complicated, but one thing is clear. There's racial bias at every level of the criminal justice system. When blacks and whites commit the same kind of crimes, blacks are more likely to be arrested. Once arrested, they're more likely to be convicted. Once convicted, they're more likely to serve longer sentences. Look at the numbers in America's so-called war on drugs. About 14% of America's drug users are black, as are about a quarter of drug sellers. Yet blacks are 34% of people arrested for drug crimes. And those convicted of drug crimes, 46% are black. By the time we factor in sentencing, there are actually more black drug offenders than white ones in state prison and federal prison. In the end, the incarceration rate for drug crimes is 10 times higher for blacks than it is for whites. These are the facts. Racial disparities in America's war on drugs are one big reason that one of three black men can expect to go to prison in their lifetime.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
Do something good for your community.
Reuse bags and bottles and always recycle.
Help us collect 1 million pounds of food.
Helps people prepare for natural disasters.
Do something about homelessness.
Anyone could be a rock star in their community.
So then do something.
Do something.
Do something.
Do something.
Visit dosomething.org to find out how.
Hi, I'm an actor, and that qualifies me to talk to you about social issues. And even though my opinion is controversial, I believe that racism is wrong. Now today, what I would like you to do is take a look at your skin color and help somebody that has a different color skin. We can stop racism together, one hug at a time. Definitely ask permission before you hug somebody. Thank you.
I have a friend. Her name's Connie. My friend Connie told me about a year and a half ago. You know, your ideas on the Constitution are ideas that you ought to share with you. You ought to let people know how you feel. You ought to let people know that the answers to the political problems that we face in this country are rooted in the Constitution. They're rooted in that 223-year-old document that created the federal government and established ground rules for its operations, and by so doing, fostered the development of the greatest civilization the world has ever known. I had explained to a few friends, including Connie, my ideas, and I thought these ideas are...
And there you have it. Folks, if you don't have chill bumps running up your back, check the heat index in your home, because I'll tell you right now, Lisa, Senator Lee moving a crowd But he said one thing very important, Cliff and Jeanette, Lisa. He said his views may be conservative, but he said one very important word. He said truth resonates with the American people.
Yes.
Now, I haven't heard that too often from anybody. Did you hear the enthusiasm in Senator Lee's presentation? What does that tell you about the man?
He's speaking from his heart. I mean, the passion that he has. I mean, like he said, the truth. You hear it and you recognize it. Everybody recognizes truth.
Well, he made the statement, it resonates. And something to resonate with you, it sticks with you. If there was ever a time in America where information needs to stick, conviction needs to stick, it's right now. Cliff, as you... then this entire studio stands at a point of awe in regards to Senator Lee. What are your thoughts when you hear a senator passionately address the word called truth?
Well, that's what it takes. And when you get somebody who their passion comes out, that is why people had to vote for him. That is why people follow him. That it's not just his passion, but his passion for the truth that says, okay, this is a man who is going to make
a difference.
Not just because he's a congressman, not just because he might have some connections, not just because his dad was a solicitor general, but the fact that he goes after the truth and he's passionate about it. Anytime you find somebody like that, you can follow that person. You can follow that person into battle. You can follow that person into danger because you know that at the end of the road, they are going to lead you to the right place.
Well, Utah, I don't know the population of Utah, but I'll tell you right now, the folks down there in Utah got it right again with Senator Mike Lee. Folks, what I'm learning, Lisa and Cliff and Jeanette, is that we got some pretty intelligent people across the United States of America because, and I can guarantee you, we say this depending on your geographical location, you went out to the polls on one night, and I can guarantee you in Utah in November, it was a little chilly, a little cold, and you took a trip to the polls and you voted for Senator Mike Lee. And I'm thrilled, Lisa, and you look like you're beaming, that I'm just thrilled for what we're hearing tonight. Lisa, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been going over some things that Senator Lee has written. And I mean, if you want to get a little more insight into his thoughts and his thought process, go out to his website and read what he wrote. What is it called? And let's go. I lost it, guys.
I'm sorry?
An Agenda for Our Time.
There you
Agenda
go.
For Our Time.
That's it.
Yeah.
He wrote that, and it's out on his website at lee.senate.gov. And it talks a lot about how he feels about so many things, about the poverty, about the poor in our country, about what things need to be done, what things need to be changed. I mean, he goes in depth for quite a while. Talking about these different things, and his passion again is just it's so out there. You can just see and feel what he feels, and it's obvious that he cares about this nation. He cares not just about the people that are doing well. He talks about the middle class and how the middle class is lacking. Then he also talks about the poor and how people are not in poverty because they're poor. They're in poverty because they don't have access to the same opportunities as other people.
Well,
and he said that the answer to that is to bring them in and give them these opportunities. So, I mean, this man speaks some truth that I can really stand behind.
Lisa, that is so true, because I also want to just chime in on that, because I grew up myself in an underprivileged situation and in the public school system, and then as a mom who homeschools my kids, I can appreciate his stand on education and the Enhancing Educational Opportunities for All Students Act, also the Expanding School Choice Act, all those things. I mean, my hat's off to him.
Okay, and thanks, Jeanette, for the motherly point of view of that, which is critically important. Ladies and gentlemen of America, I'll tell you right now, if you're wondering if firecrackers are going off across the country, make no mistake about it, it's not the 4th of July, but it is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday here at AJC Radio. And I'll tell you right now, Senator Mike Lee, give him a bow if you see him. Tip your hat if you're at the nation's capital. And if you happen to be available on a Wednesday afternoon, stop by and get a little bit of green jello and Land O'Lakes whipped cream. You know, thanks to the staff, to the senator for taking time with us, and his, at least as you said, his entire staff welcomed us as if we were family. Ladies and gentlemen, this show will be at AJCRadio.com. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody you know what's going on at AJC Radio on Thursday night. And, folks, if you think this is part of the excitement, I got good news for you. We're just getting started here on AJC Radio because this happens every Thursday night. Join us. Because we intend to shine the light on our elected officials. And, man, every time I leave here Thursday night, Cliff, and I see the smile on your face, every time we leave here on a Thursday evening, you know, we're pretty excited and pretty motivated about we can't wait till next week, can we?
Absolutely. I mean, it gets you pumped up, makes you feel like, you know, you have learned something new about what goes on in Congress. Like I said, we've been there so many times, and we see these congressmen and congresswomen, all the members of Congress that we've seen, but when you really dig into their story and who they are, you realize it's more than them walking through the halls of justice and making a vote. It's who they are as the person. That is what's critical.
Well, folks, I guarantee it's nothing in the Kool-Aid, but it is in the studio of AJC Radio. We call
it in the Jell-O.
Spotlight. Okay, maybe in the Jell-O, but I tell you what, we're excited here at AJC Radio, and I'll tell you what, his position, Lisa, on criminal reform affects six men. Change is on the way. I'll tell you that right now. So there were some folks responsible for the wrongful conviction of the RP6, which this show is dedicated to. The RP6 are Gary Walker, David Banks, Demetrius Harper, Kendrick Barnes, Dave Zappolo, and Clinton Stewart. And we got some folks that are responsible, but I believe, Lisa, as criminal reform takes shape, we got some great things ahead coming ahead.
Absolutely.
But before we go to the greatness, let's go to the perpetrators of justice who are responsible for the wrongful conviction of the RP6. Who are they?
Okay, we've got U.S. Attorney John Walsh, Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, Assistant U.S. Attorney Sunita Hazra, Attorney Greg Goldberg, Federal Judge Christine Arguello, Appellate Judge Jerome Holmes, Appellate Judge Bobby Baldock, Appellate Judge Harris Hartz, Federal Judge R. Brooke Jackson, Magistrate Judge Craig Schaefer, Court Reporter Darlene Martinez, FBI Agent John Smith, FBI Agent Robert Moen, Former Federal Agent John Epke, Former Federal Agent Gary Hilberry, Attorney Thomas Goodread, Attorney Clifford Barnard, Attorney Thomas Richard, Attorney Robert Berger, Attorney Mitchell Baker, Attorney Boston Stanton Jr., Attorney Rick Kornfeld, Attorney Mark Garagos, Susan Holland of ETI Professional Services, and last but certainly not least, Samuel K. Thurman, traitor of all time.
A traitor and a perpetrator of justice. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us tonight here on AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill, where we bring the message of justice all around the world. And remember, one thing is for certain, one brick at a time changes a nation. Hang in there, folks. Justice is on the way. Take care. Good night, America.
Good night.
Good night.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God? Congratulations. You're now members of the 114th Congress.
America's criminal justice system is, in my opinion, in need of reform, not because current policies have failed, but in many ways because those policies have succeeded. Let me explain what I mean. This is an important point for reformers to recognize. Prevailing law enforcement strategies have helped make communities safer all around the country. And yet the current system, for all its merits, nonetheless leaves too many Americans behind. Some of them are reformed offenders who are left behind languishing in prison. Some of them may be innocent men, women, and children on the outside of the prison walls, trapped in fraying communities with too little security, and far too few fathers, uncles, and other brothers. A generation of tougher on crime policies has created new challenges that it's up to our generation now to meet. Hopefully, with the benefit. fathers, those sons, those older brothers, those younger brothers, all of them are desperately needed in their own communities. We have the challenge of over-criminalization, of over-incarceration, and over-sentencing. We have a mountain of empirical evidence demonstrating the social and economic value of stable, intact families, and the costs of the breakdown of those same families. We have prison policies that make rehabilitation the exception rather than the norm. And we have regulations that make it unnecessarily difficult for even reformed offenders to build a new life and to earn an honest living once they have been released from prison.
Huh?